as a coach, we have to have a wide net of the types of players we can coach, and players got to have a wide net of the type of coaches they can learn from.
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we got the pleasure of speaking with the current head coach of Guaymas in Mexico and current Rising Coaches member, Coach Ben Sanders. Coach Sanders brings a wealth of knowledge to the podcast, working in various roles in the G League, including the Windy City Bulls, Long Island Nets, and Wisconsin Herd, as well as a stint in the NBA with the Chicago Bulls. Prior to these roles, Coach Sanders held positions in the NCAA with New Mexico, Rice, and Alfred University, all playing a pivotal role in his newfound head coaching gig. Please welcome Coach Ben Sanders. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old company. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales at sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. Again, you got Doug Caputo and Alan Major, and today we have ourselves a current member with Rising Coaches, as well as a recently appointed new head coach at Guaymas, Coach Ben Sanders. Coach Sanders, what's going on?
Man, thanks for having me. This is kind of cool to be on a show that I've listened to a number of times with a couple of friends. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, man. Yeah, congratulations too on your new gig as well. We'll get into that, but yeah, thank you.
So as we mentioned, you know, you're the current head coach, and in this team, just so everyone is clear, is down in Mexico. So you are going to be traveling ultimately internationally. So talk about and one thing before we even really get into any of that, I want to cover, because I know me and you've been texting the last couple months and just talking about your travels, talking about everything that you've been doing. I believe you traveled to Italy, Turkey. You covered some NBA and G League teams as well, just kind of, you know, attended practice and some events. But just talk about your travels. Talk about what all that included and entailed.
A lot of these ideas of traveling came about because, you know, the G League, I've been working in the G League the last 6 years, and a lot of the G League job movement is late. And so once that process is up, if you don't have a job, and this year maybe just kind of a fluke thing, it felt like a fluke for me. I didn't land a G League job this year. I did have one college offer on the table, and it just wasn't right for me in my personal life. And so I talked to some mentors, thought about it, you know, for weeks. How could I make the most out of this year if I was not with a team? And the obvious answer that I've thought about for years, there's always the question of what happens if you don't have a team, right? Is, well, I'm going to go visit my friends and learn from them, see how they do things. So I was kind of down in the dumps when I didn't get the job, and first thing I set up was I was going to go to Sacramento Kings training camp. As Alan knows, I've got a little bit of a relationship with Mike Brown over the years, and he's such a generous guy. And so he let me come watch training camp for 4 days. From there, a couple weeks later, went out to Utah. I went to watch Jazz practice for a few days. And along the way, you realize just being fresh on people's mind makes a difference. So yeah, I'm happy to explain how that panned out when we talk about my current role, but bounced around a couple G League teams. I saw, went back to Salt Lake, see the Salt Lake City Stars. I've been out to Chicago to see my buddies in Windy City. I made it out to Indiana and caught a couple teams out there. The highlight of my travels for sure has been my trip to Europe. It was my first exposure to EuroLeague. Went over to Italy. I went to Bologna. Got to see one of my good friends is the head coach out there. And so he rolled out the red carpet. He let me in every staff meeting. I was basically sitting on the end of the bench during games. I got to see two EuroLeague games, get to know their staff. It was a pretty incredible experience seeing how things are done differently over there. And then from there, I went to Turkey. Got to spend a couple days with Efes. I went to one of their home games against Fenerbahce, which that's cross rival both the EuroLeague teams from Istanbul. And so that was pretty exciting.
Elbows thrown in that game, man. I'll tell you that.
Sure. that's bad blood. Sure.
Whew.
I was supposed to spend 3 days with Fenerbahce. While I was there, they ended up firing their head coach. So they made a head coaching change. And so I ended up not going to practice. They actually hired a Sarunas Jasikevicius. Hopefully I said his last name correctly. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, Lithuanian.
Yeah, and I had met Cyrus back at King's training camp in the fall. So it was good catching up with him. Got to talk to him for a minute or two, but I didn't want to impose on his first couple of practices. So I ended up maybe not getting as much out of that experience as I'd wanted to, but it was still such a positive experience to go over there, be a part of that. I had some wonderful hosts in a company called Sporting Work who, you know, hosted me, showed me around the city, great people. They do a ton of training camps over there, and they made a point of taking care of me and putting me up at a hotel. And so I did a kind of a brief little clinic for them. And so it was a really positive experience all around. And I got back just in time to go to the G League showcase in Orlando and see all my friends from around the NBA and G League. And it was cool to do that right after going and doing this EuroLeague experience. And I was surprised at the number of guys who were jealous about
the ability for free reign and be able to get out and move around for a little while.
I think sometimes we get caught up in this business saying, hey, you have to have a job every year. It's a death sentence to not have a job every year. And I don't think that's necessarily the case, depending on how you use that time. For me, I feel like I've used that time productively, feel great about everything I've done. I've gotten to do stuff I might not have ever gotten to do otherwise. Yeah. And, you know, when I got to showcase and all my G League buddies are like, they're telling me about their problems. They're telling me about their problems. This team's telling me how good they are. And this team's telling me how good they are. It all sounds the same. And I don't say that to minimize it, because everybody's journey and everybody's experience is valuable, but it sounded like every experience I'd already had. And instead of spitting out some of the same stuff, I was like, well, I got to go do this in Bologna in Turkey. And that's a pretty great opportunity and experience. And I'll never forget that trip for as long as I live.
Nah, you know, I love you said that, Ben, because and I've lived that life of gap time, right? Like, you know, I know what that's like. And you go through that initial kind of punch in the gut, right? Like, what do I do now? And once you kind of shift your mind to, I'm going to be better on the other side of this, and that becomes your focus, then all of a sudden, you know, it's funny how once you kind of start inserting yourself in situations and getting around. And, you know, the year after I left Charlotte, I went and visited probably 35 different programs across the country, from Duke all the way to Cedarville in Ohio. You know, I didn't care about what level. I just wanted to learn and grow and get better. I actually called it the learning journey. And I took notes everywhere I went. And
National tour.
Well, it's funny. It started out national. And then all of a sudden, a buddy of mine was taking like an exhibition group to China. And so I got to go to China twice with him. I did an Athletes in Action trip with Mo Makowski, which a lot of people know. He's, you know, big, you know, basketball guy. Had a chance to coach in the Basketball Africa League the very first year they had it in Rwanda. And then had a chance to, as you have, work with the Nigerian national team a few times. So, like, all that came out during this gap time, but you don't know until you put yourself out there. And so I love that you shared that, because whether guys know it or not, guys are either have gone through what you've gone through, are currently in that gap time, or it's coming and they don't know it
or
yet.
Will. Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm glad you covered like the approach, how you approach it is a really big deal.
And I've been blessed too that it happened at this point in my career where I have some more connections than I did, you know, 10 years ago, and I can do things a little differently. And I'm sure you've felt the benefit of that too after Charlotte. Like, if, for you, you've been a head coach, man. Like, you know, open some doors just because of that. I was thankful that having worked for NBA teams got me in doors that I might not have otherwise.
No, those three letters are powerful.
I mean, easy to forget it when you're in that circle because everybody has that common. But as soon as I went to Europe and they're like, oh, NBA, tell me, what do you call this? What do you do there? What do you do?
Yeah,
come to me now. How does Coach Bud teach it in Milwaukee? How do the Chicago Bulls do it? Like, how, and that's a fun experience to be that guy, to be the so-called expert. I'm no different than anybody else. I'm no more special than anybody else, but I have had tremendous opportunities to learn from really great coaches, just being affiliated with them in a loose capacity. Like Coach Bud, probably barely remembers who I am, but I learned so much from Coach Bud during my time in Milwaukee. And that's a blessing to have worked for him, you know, like, and so it's easy to take those moments for granted sometimes, but it was a healthy reminder when people opened up their doors to me that like, oh, I'd accomplished a little bit. Like I've made meaningful friendships that have lasted and opened doors for me. And you know, the real highlight of my trip to Europe was going to this little hole in the wall Italian food restaurant with Luca Bonchi, the head coach for Virtus Bologna, and just talking about life, man. Like that, like those relationships matter. And so I'm very grateful for that reminder that this season has given me.
Yeah. I mean, I had a chance, you know, the BAL was in its first season. Little did I know I had J. Cole on my team because he always had a dream to play basketball, and he went to St. John's, you know, ended up majoring in music. Thank God for us. But, you know, had a chance to walk on, passed on being a walk on. And then this Basketball Africa League was like a hoop, you know, it was like a Field of Dreams thing for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 34 years old when he's over there playing for me. And so, you know, incredible guy. But like that, who would have thought something like that would ever happen? Just like you said, being over in Bologna, sitting in some hole in the wall restaurant, and you have a memorable conversation that you'll never forget. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of this business, man. Like, and leaning on those relationships when things go dry. And the beauty of that is you find out who your real relationships are versus your so-called, you know, acquaintances.
Oh, there's definitely a difference between let me know if I can do anything for you and tell me what you need from me.
There you go.
And I've had multiple guys be the tell me what you need from me guy.
That's it.
And it's changed my mindset when I'm trying to be there for people like that. That's approach I want to adopt.
Huh. No, I like that. I like that. I might have to start changing my vocabulary up a little bit then. I like that.
There's no shortage of us who just say, let me know if I can help you with anything. Like, yeah. You can at the Final Four or Summer League or whatever event, you probably say it more than hello, you know? And oftentimes it's empty. So I challenge everybody listening to this to say it and mean it.
And then you were talking about connections too, you know, all these connections that you got to be able to travel to Italy, Turkey, all these NBA G League practices and so on. But talk about how those connections have ultimately helped you as well as helped you get to where you're currently now, starting with your new position.
The funny thing is once you start showing up at people's practices and you're in buildings, having meaningful conversations, you're fresh on their mind. And there's a guy who's pretty well connected around the CIBA Copa, which is the league that we play in down in Mexico. And he starts hitting up some of his friends like, hey, thinking about coaches, we're going to start hiring before too long. Who you got in mind? Well, one of the guys he hits up is part of the Sacramento Kings organization. The next guy he hits up is part of the Jazz organization. And they both jot my name. Next thing you know, I'm on a short list. It's crazy how this one worked out for me, because for months I've been talking to this connection that I made through these guys. And this connection has become a friend of mine. And he's like, man, I think I can help you out. I think I can get you a job. Let's see how it pans out. But I think we can make it work. Ends up not working. And he tells me probably a month ago, hey, I'm sorry, man. I thought I could get it done for you. I let you down. I feel bad. And then he hits me about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. I've lost all track of time since this has happened. He hits me up on a Sunday morning. I'm on a road trip. I'm in Chicago. I'm on my way to Indy to visit a couple more teams. And he hits me up. He's like, hey, a job ended up opening up last minute. Are you interested? So, and I was like, yeah. And I was kind of skeptical because nothing had panned out yet. And like, yeah, of course I'm interested. Like, hit me up. Well, somebody from the team, a representative of the team, hits me that night. And we talk on the phone for about 30 minutes. And he's like, well, I got to run it by the president. He might want to talk to you and interview you. I'll let you know. 30 minutes later, he texts me, president signed off. We'll have a contract to you in the morning.
How about that?
Wow.
And I wake up and there's a contract in my inbox. And
it's a hell of a morning text.
So, so you know, there's part of me that's like, oh, I don't know anything about Guaymas, Mexico. I don't know much about this league. Like, what am I going to do? But it's an opportunity to be a head coach. I'd be an idiot to turn that down. So let's go. And I immediately am Googling Guaymas and Cibacopa and doing my research and making sure I'm locked in and ready for this opportunity. I've learned a ton about the league already. I've been, you know, studying players, trying to sign guys to our roster. And it took no time at all to be 2 feet in and stoked about this opportunity. Like a couple of days ago, it's announced on social media and I get to repost that as a head coach. And the outpouring of support was just unbelievable. And I'm so thankful for everybody who has been sharing kind messages and encouraging messages. And but it's been this whirlwind. And I have found that my mind's racing all the time. Well, how do I want to approach this? How do I want to approach that? And what's funny is I've had years of these thought exercises and discussing it with my friends, like, what would you do if you were head coach? What would you do? And so I'm mostly organized in my head about this, is how we're going to do it. I'm excited about it. Here's what I've already written down on paper, what our first three practices are going to look like. I'm ready to go. But man, your mind just races. So many. I've known this for years.
Get used to that, by the way.
Oh no, I'm
used to your mind racing.
You know, I worked for a guy last year with the Wisconsin area. His name's Chasen Allen. We call him CA. He's like one of my best friends in the business. He did a great job of kind of showing, like, hey, head coaches deal with some decision fatigue. If you can offload some decisions on your staff and hand some stuff over, it reduces your stress and ready to go. So unfortunately I only have one assistant coach down there. I think he's going to kill it. I think he's going to knock it out of the ballpark. I'm excited about having him on my staff. And I've already tried, hey, you're going to be in charge of this, that, here's how you can help me. And thankfully he's a hard worker and he's going to be a ton of help. But I'm already experiencing the number of decisions that we take for granted as assistant coaches. So assistant coaches, listen to this, video coordinators, whoever else, remember this about your head coaches. Those dudes got a lot of decisions that they are handing out or that they're making on a regular basis that you have never thought about. And they're there all the time. So don't be second guessing your head coach's amount of stress and dealing with that kind of stuff. Cause it's serious. I've been on the job for 2 weeks and I've made more decisions.
Already, hey, feeling it.
Create three segments for yourself, 30, 60, 90. Yep. So you got your first 30 days, first 60 days, first 90 days. And hopefully the guy that's on your staff is if he's even just 50% X and O's, but more so 50% a killer operationally,
mm-hmm.
that will help you more because you'll figure the X and O stuff out.
Yeah.
But it's the day to day and having somebody, you know, just help you stay a step ahead and staying a step ahead of you organizationally. Mm-hmm. That'll be as important as anything, you know, with, you know, obviously facilities and travel and roster and, you know, just and just staying ahead of step ahead of that cycle, because somebody that kind of knows there's a certain cycle that you're going to have to revolve around and work with.
Well, that's why it was so important to me to hire somebody who's local and had experience with the league.
Absolutely. You know,
he's great. He's played in the league. He is Mexican. So like, he's bilingual. He's been around the league for a long time. He's got a ton of experience in that country. And, you know, that's something else you got to think about when you're looking for jobs is
hiring.
Is who can you hire? I've got dudes like if this was a G League head coaching job right now and I was allowed to hire my four or five guys, I can tell you exactly who it would be. I know bang bang. Right.
Heartbeat. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm in a different league. All of a sudden, those guys are not options. And it's not because they wouldn't be great to have, they would kill it. But you just need a different skill set when you're in a new country, new league. Like, it just requires a different way of thinking.
Yeah, for sure. No, fit is everything. Like, you hiring a staff, man, fit is absolutely everything. So, yeah, I mean, this guy's going to know which hotels you stay in. You know, hey, we can't stay in that one. They got roaches, you know, that share the towels with you when you take a shower. You know, we're not staying there. You know, we're staying in this place. It's better. Their tequila's better. You know, this is where we need to stay. So, no, but, I mean, you got that's fit, though, right?
Yeah, like,
fit is everything. So you got somebody that's already, as we speak today, recording this pod, he's thinking one step ahead of what you need.
Yep, absolutely.
And that is gigantic, man. I mean, that's really huge.
Yep. Shout out Luis Quintero. He's gonna be the best in it. I'm excited.
Good stuff.
Well, we're excited. Yeah, we're excited to be able to see what you got going on down there. So when does the season officially start? Like, when's your first game?
So first regular season game is March 1st. We have a couple of exhibitions, the 23rd, 24th, I believe, are those dates. We will start training camp on the 15th. And we'll do a little team meeting the night before. I've got an idea of deck I threw together with some of my philosophies that we're going to talk, what I expect of my guys.
Yeah.
An opportunity for everybody to introduce each other. And then we're going to have a meal and make sure guys sit there and spend a little bit of time together, have some small conversations, see if we can't loosen up the room and have some get to know you time before we step on the court together the next morning.
Good stuff. Keep that going through the season, man. Pull the old Greg Popovich, you know, night before the game, you know, team dinners.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of that. And I talked to one of our an import who's returning, a little more of a veteran than some of these guys. And I've already challenged him. Hey, you know, this league, you know what it's like to be an American living in Guaymas. When those imports get down there, I want you to pull them in, make them feel welcome, and I want you to bring in the local guys and make sure there's no divide between the two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great move.
Really important to me that everybody gets along, and we're supposed to compete together, not compete against each other. And obviously we're going to compete against each other in practice, but
yeah, for sure.
That's the healthy competition that I embrace. And I hope these guys will too.
Yeah. No, you definitely don't want them and us on game night. Like, you know, them being American guys, us being locals, you know, it's like, hey, it's a just us, like the Warriors used to say, just us.
And you know, what's something unique about this league. Every one of our games is a back-to-back. So when we go to a stadium or they come to us, we're playing the same team both nights.
Wow. And
there are some weeks where we're playing four games in five nights. We're going to
be exhausted.
Yes.
Long weeks.
So that's another thing. Like, how do you keep these guys fresh? You got to teach with film, right? You got to teach with walkthroughs. You got to bring in guys who are good learners as best you can. And, you know, that's another thing I'm going to challenge these guys with is what kind of learner can you be off the floor? Like, there's every player has a different learning style.
Yeah.
The guys, the players that can learn from various coaching styles are going to have the most success. The coaches who can teach in the most variety of ways are going to have the most success. So if you get the proper combination of hopefully a coach who's can teach different ways with on the floor, with film, you know, all that type of stuff, just
verbally. Yeah.
I could be that guy. They can be players that learn from each different way. Then I think we have success. But like I was saying, like as a coach, we have to have a wide net of the types of players we can coach, and players got to have a wide net of the type of coaches they can learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you don't get that in year one, the beauty of what you're saying is you've got a blueprint. All right. So moving forward, because I mean, obviously your roster is going to change every year.
Mm-hmm.
And molten sometimes different times within a season at times. But you got a blueprint for how you want it to look moving forward just with that approach. So I'm glad you said that.
Along those lines, like I said earlier, I've made more decisions than I've ever made. I'm going to learn more this year than I've ever learned as well.
Mm.
I'm sure you Brother, will. Yeah. Being thrown, you know.
You call me at the end of the season. You have no idea.
Run back this podcast in 5 months and we'll talk.
You have no idea. You want to talk about like growing like a weed, man. It is both exciting, but it is also humbling. It's exciting because it's humbling in a way, because you see how much growth you have, but it's also humbling because it's exciting. So the two things kind of work together, but you have no idea how much your growth is going to take off. Just teaching how you communicate on the floor, the conviction and clarity, like you have conviction and clarity about how you think about things with the game now, but that stuff is going to be even more cemented on what you really believe. And then the stuff that you kind of feel like, yeah. Hey, I'm not sure about this. Maybe I need to look at this differently. Some of that stuff's going to change too. So like, I'm excited for you, man. Cause like you're going to grow like a weed. Trust me.
I'm excited about it.
And then like, what are some of the philosophies that you're trying to instill in this new team, since this is a new step?
I mean, that's a vague question. There's so much that fits under the philosophies.
You can get in the you're thinking more basketball, right? Like offense, defense.
Thinking more basketball oriented wise. So more kind of like the X's and O's. Like what are some of the offensive and defensive tendencies, I guess?
So one of the things I'm gonna preach from day one is we're gonna be tough, smart. We're gonna play tough, smart, and together. And there's gonna be many people who have similar philosophies, and I'm not gonna pretend that I came up with all of this on my own, but I have kind of fine tuned it to fit my beliefs in this team. And so we have a blanket tough, smart, and together. What does that look like for our program? It means showing up every day, locked in, comfortable being uncomfortable, next play mentality. We're going to be smart, meaning we're going to be self-aware. We're going to understand all of our team concepts. We're going to lock in the scouting reports. We're going to play together with like great communication, contagious positivity. And I'm going to introduce this concept of psychological safety to my team. And we're going to see if this is too big of a concept and I'm being too ambitious here, but I want this to be a place where if your teammate screws up, are you lifting him up or are you bringing him down? Right. And the same thing goes for me. If my player's screwing him up, are we hammering that point? Like with negative reinforcement, are we lifting him up? How can we build on that? So like guys can't be afraid to make mistakes. We gotta play through it, right? And then you can break that down to offense and defense and what does it look like for both, you know, for defense, toughness can be make sure you're sprinting back every possession. Are you physical without fouling? Multiple efforts. And shout out Nelson Taroba, who really hammered these home in one of his clinics, and I've adopted a lot of it from him. But you know, being smart on defense, you got to know know the scouting report, know your personnel. What are our built-in systems of help? Where are we forcing the ball? Where are they? Where's our help coming from? That type of thing. As far as playing together, like defensively, are we talking consistently? Right? Are we on the same page with our coverages and communicating those coverages? And then are all five crashing the glass? Again, shout out Nelson Taroba. I took a lot of that from him. You know, offensively, what does toughness look like? Is it running to the corners consistently, like sprinting in transition instead of jogging? Playing through contact, mental, like being mentally composed, right? Not if you haven't gotten a shot in a while, does that mean you forced up a bad shot in your next touch, or do you have discipline, right? As far as smart goes, do you know our system? Do you know how to execute it? Do you know how to read the defense, what they give us, right? Together is the most obvious one on offense, right? Are we sharing the ball? Are we cutting selflessly, whether we get the ball or not? And then are we celebrating each other's successes when we get a great pass or that type of thing? So that's kind of like the framework of it all. And then obviously, like, my offensive philosophy is broken down to more key tenets, right? Like, I'm a big believer in spacing over everything. So our running habits, we're running to space, and we're starting each possession with proper space. I used to work for a guy who would say, and I'll give you the censored version of it, but if your spacing starts effed up, it's going to end effed up. If the possession is screwed up to start, it's going to end screwed up. Like, that's just how it's going to work. So our spacing, we're starting the possession on good terms, with great spacing. We're going to play with a 0.5 mentality. That means once an advantage is created, you receive the ball, you got 0.5 seconds, half a second to pass, shoot, put it on the deck, transport it to the next guy, whatever it is. Like, no holding the ball. We're not putting 4, 5, 6 dribbles together, that type of thing. Next one is assault the rim. We're not attacking the rim, we're assaulting it. It is more than an attack, right? That is first and foremost our goal. Every possession is, can we collapse a defense by assaulting the rim? That may be with drives, that may be with rolling hard to the rim, and maybe with cutting off the ball. But if you don't have pressure on the rim and can't collapse the defense, then you're not getting the spray out threes. And then my first year in the G League, I worked for the RGV Vipers, Houston Rockets, Daryl Morey, and Tony. So we will not be taking a whole lot of mid-range jumpers.
That's the modern day thing. Let it fly or lay it in. One of the two. Let it fly or lay it in.
you know the common misconception on that. Like, if you looked at our stats that year when I was in RGV, we had the highest offensive rating in the league. We were great offensively. And when you hear people say, "Oh, take out the mid range," everybody's like, "Oh, you're just gonna jack threes," but that's not it. And that's why assault the rim is one of my tenets, because that year in RGV, we shot like maybe a couple hundred more threes, maybe 200-300 more threes than our opponents, but we shot like 700 or 800 more layups. When you're at the rim that consistently, taking rim twos, the defense has no choice but to collapse, and then you've got your kick out, catch and shoot, higher percentage threes.
One thing we cover with, and Archie Miller was on here, said the same exact thing. Head coach of Rhode Island currently, he mentioned how many paint touches you get in a possession, how many paint touches you get in a game. Like, that's the number one thing. No, so I love that.
Yeah, we're trying to play downhill in transition. Like, we'll get our bigs screening early in transit if we don't already have a kick ahead. We'll try to get a paint touch as early as we can in the shot clock. And that's why, like, my first couple days, I'm not putting any sets in my first 2 or 3 days of practice. We're putting in a system of how we play after the play. That's drive, kick, swing. How are we balancing the floor when it, you know, if it's balls on one side and you got a naked corner, what's our spacing look like opposite? If we got a balanced floor, what does that spacing look like? And then we will eventually, once guys understand the system of how we're playing after the play, then you can start putting in your sets to create your advantage.
Sets are the easy part.
We gotta teach guys how to maintain an advantage before we create an advantage.
And I mean, a big thing I always, and you said it earlier too, is you said cutting unselfishly, or like, you know, you find an open gap, take that cut or whatever unselfishly. And I want to bring back to that real quick, just because one thing that I would always preach to our centers, especially, is run the floor. And why do I always say this specifically the center is because when you run the floor, that brings the help side in, or whoever's running the floor on defense into the paint, which opens up the threes. So I always make sure there was a couple possessions where our guards would get wide open threes and everybody runs over to the guard. Great shot, way to run the floor. And I walk right over to the big and say, that all happened because of you. So kind of going back to what you're saying is like the only reason, and then that's things that don't pop up on a stat sheet. That's things that people don't talk about. It's like, but the only reason that shot was open was because the center ran the floor and then the guard got open because you pulled the defense. So that's why I kind of want to tie that back into your cutting unselfishly.
So one of the metaphors, maybe is the right word, that I like to use an example of that is if you look at the NFL, I looked this up the other day, and I'm curious how accurate the stats were that I looked at, but a typical NFL team, like I think the average number of pass plays a game is like 33. If you've ever played fantasy football or gambled on an NFL game, you know, like a lot of those receivers are getting maybe 3-4 catches a game, maybe 5 or 6 targets at most. Like there's not many dudes getting more than that. So if you're only getting thrown the ball 4 or 5 times out of the 30 plus passes a game, you can't start running lazy routes because one, yeah, you won't get playing time, and two, those pass plays won't work whether the pass is to you or not. So it's the same thing in transition. Run to the corners. You may not always get the ball in the corner, but a few times a game, you're going to get one and you're going to be prepared to knock it down, and it will benefit our team. So it's the same thing with cutting, right? Like if you cut hard every time, you're not going to get the ball every time. But if you don't cut hard, you're probably never getting the ball. Certainly not helping our team. So that's one of my, like, I think sometimes if you can frame it the right way, guys are like, all right, okay, now, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's like,
I love you mentioning the NFL because I've heard guys talk about the receiver, you know, the route tree, you know, the different routes. And I've heard the phrase running your routes with integrity, right? So you've got to run it to the point where it's believable and it's run with obviously great speed, great force. Even when you come out of the huddle knowing it's going to the other side of the field, that's fine.
Right.
But you've got to make your defender respect everything that you're doing from an integrity perspective, because then when it is your turn, it's not like you got to flip some switch. It's like, this is what we do. This is who we are. So I love that football analogy.
Hopefully it sinks in with the players too. We'll see.
by the fourth or fifth day of training camp, you'll start getting an idea for sure.
There we go. Yep.
But the seeds are planted at least. The seeds are going to be planted. So
they will be. They will.
That alone is a big step, no doubt.
And of course, want to be cognizant of your time. But then at the same point, I want to touch before we even get to the final segment of our quick hitters is, as we mentioned, you are a Rising Coaches member. So if you could just talk about real quick, like maybe in ways that has benefited you or advantaged you over the time of being a member of Rising Coaches.
It has. I've been a member of Rising Coaches since before there were maybe members of Rising Coaches. Like we used to go to the Rising Coaches social at the Final Four long before Rising Coaches was really anything more than that. And I started developing meaningful relationships from that group right off the jump. And it was funny because a lot of times, especially early in your career, you're only networking with guys who are kind of like at the same point in their career as you. I think you'd be foolish not to still value those connections, because fast forward 10 or 15 years from now, or like from then, for me, like I still have a lot of those relationships, and some of those have helped me get jobs. Brandon Rosenthal, for example, helped me multiple times get jobs that, you know, he just threw my name in the ring and thankfully it worked out. I've had other guys who that, you know, you just keep in touch with and maybe they just give you a little intel like, hey, I hear this job's going to open up or I think so-and-so's got that job and you never know where that's going to come from. Jimmy Oakman's another one who without his help, I probably don't get an opportunity with the Long Island Nets in the G League bubble. And, you know, he kind of threw my name in the ring with that staff. And that was a weird, strange basketball experience. I loved every minute of it. But what I really came away with from that experience was amazing friendships. Guys who've had my back and celebrated me in big ways when I've had successes, guys who I want to celebrate when they have success. But again, a lot of that comes from starting with this organization and spending time with people in this group. I can tell you that none of us have ever succeeded in this business without the help of others. Like, none of us are worth our salt. Like, this is a weird business. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There are no absolutes. Like, if you do this, you're going to get that job. There's no like specific recipe, right? Tell you that you will not have success in this business without the help from others. So any opportunity to be a part of an organization where we're all kind of after the same thing and can really have each other's back is a big deal. One example I'll give you of a valuable relationship is during the pandemic, we were on Zooms all the time, just kind of BSing sometimes about this or that. And Maxime and Enrico are both in Europe. Enrico's in Germany, Max is in France. I would have never ever met those dudes if it weren't for Rising Coaches. And now we message all the time on Instagram or this or that to stay in touch. And I saw them this last year at Summer League for the first time. And like, we go give each other a real big hug, excited to see each other. And then it took us a second and we're like, this is the first time we've ever met in person, isn't it?
Right.
And it was without Rising Coaches. And it was like, I just don't have that bond with those guys. And, you know, I think if I'm ever in France or Germany and I hit those dudes up, I trust they're going to take care of me the same that if they come over here, I'm going to take care of them. And
yeah, I can 100% speak to that. You're not just saying what you're saying. You actually mean it too, because a prime example between us, you know, I know you and Alan have crossed paths in the past, but same thing, you know, me and Ben would hop on Zooms during COVID and through Rising Coaches. You were with Windy City. I was at a Division III graduate assistant. You know, he was with the Bulls. I'm over here as a Division III assistant, and he treated me just like I was a, you know, just another friend. So it's just, I'm just basically piggybacking off of what you're saying, but completely stating the fact that, you know, you're not just saying it; you actually do live it and mean those words as well.
A large part of it is like, Rising Coaches is what you make of it. If you're gonna get involved, if you're gonna be active, if you're gonna be around the people, then it's gonna benefit you. And if you're going to pay your dues and never do anything else, then by all means, we'll take your money. But, like, you're not going to get the same out of it that the rest of us have, you know? Yeah, I think it's helps. You never have too many friends.
And what we'll do is we'll cut to our final segment now. So it's three quick hitters. Then we wrap it up and tie everything up with a final question. But the first three quick hitters, like I said, basically short, brief answers, and then we just kind of go from there. But the first one would be, in one word, what is a characteristic or trait you feel separates you from other coaches?
I'm not going to do this in one word. I'm sorry, Doug.
You're fine.
I don't think there's anything special about me that separates me from other coaches, but I try to practice empathy on a daily basis, and especially with other staff and players, we're people first. And I think coaches get arrogant sometimes and think, oh, that guy's got a new girlfriend and that's the reason he's playing poorly. Well, we don't know what else is going on in his life, or this dude's a bad student because he doesn't give a shit. pardon my language. And it could very easily just be that he doesn't have the right learning style for that professor or whatever the case may be. Like, I'm constantly trying to think of reasons why somebody could be struggling rather than thinking I have all the answers. And, you know, I think sometimes that lends perspective and aids in building relationships and gaining players' trust because of it.
And then the second one would be, what is your pet peeve in coaching? So is there anything that maybe, you don't have to say anybody in specifics, but is there anything that like really just irks you as a coach?
Yeah, it's similar to the point I just made, but it's on Twitter. It's the guys that get on Twitter and talk poorly about players of this generation are too obsessed with TikTok to understand your – they can learn a TikTok dance, but they can't learn your side out of bounds play. Well, all you just told me was that you're bad at teaching your side out of bounds play. That's on you, bro. That's your job, is to teach them and make sure they know it. So you failed your job. Like, don't get on Twitter and badmouth players. Oh, players today always want to transfer. Well, guess what? If I'm a coach and I've got a better offer to go make life-changing money that my partner and my family, like, they deserve that from me. I'm not going to then criticize a player for doing the same. So poor, like, judging people on Twitter and stuff drives me nuts. And then X's and O's-wise, I hate Flappy. I just can't stand Flappy.
There's a simple pet peeve. Simple enough.
That's a simple one, yeah. And then the third one is, when you're hiring, what's the, like, because since you just went through this whole process, now obviously yours was more of a specific, because as you mentioned already, it was somebody who knew the area, somebody who was well-versed in the conference. But just looking for, when you're hiring, what's the number one thing that you're looking for in an assistant?
I'm going to give you three things. So the goal is to build a cohesive staff, first and foremost. I think it takes three things, and it's the three C's. It's character, competence, and creativity. I want high character, guys I can trust who are going to do right by everybody in the organization. I want competence, like guys who are good at their job and can do it at a high level. And then I want creativity. And if I could add one like semi C to that, it would be conflict. I embrace, and I don't know that conflict is necessarily the right word, but I like sitting down in a coach's meeting and having a healthy debate. I want assistant coaches that are going to challenge me and make me think differently and give me new ideas. I don't want somebody who's going to be like, I think we should cover this guy with this coverage. And they're like, yep, yes, coach. Like, I want somebody like, well, coach, what if we did this instead? And I'll be like, oh, I never thought about that. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I might walk out of that meeting as a head coach and say, thanks for your input. We're going to do it. We're going to go this way with it. And I need them to not have an ego that's going to get in the way when that happens. I tried to be that as an assistant coach. I don't think you're very professional if you walk out of the coach's meeting and at any point share a different message to the players. I think that's a major red flag for an assistant coach. So,
or amongst the staff, like, you know, kind of like the, hey man, you know, I don't really think we should be doing this. Like, right. You can't, if you look each other in the eye before you walk out the meeting door, like, hey, this is what we're doing. Like, that's the end of it. Like, now let's go make it work.
Along that point, and I hope I'm not like running you guys too long, but like, I had this discussion with somebody recently. I think there are head coaches out there whose control issues or leadership issues stem from insecurity. And I think that's there's some of that is natural wherever you are, right? But I think a lot of that stems from what was your behavior as an assistant coach and what's your culture in the program. If I, as an assistant coach, had a habit of, yo, what is this idiot doing? Like, why are we doing this? Like, why is our head coach always doing this or that? Like, to the other coaches, then I'm only going to assume that once I'm a head coach, they're doing that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, hey, Nah, coach said we're going to do it this way. I'm in, man. Let's go do it. This is how it can benefit us. Let's go do it. And then and part of that, I think, comes from have you had those discussions? Like, have you actually discussed it in your staff meetings and stuff? Because if you have, then it's easier to understand the why of what you're doing, and your buy-in is going to be higher.
Perfect.
But don't – whatever you do, don't be the guy that contributes to your head coach's insecurity. Some of them are just going to be that way on their own, and God bless them. Like, they – therapy is a great outlet, but don't contribute to other people's insecurities. Like, let's take care of each other.
And then the final question we have to tie it all up is – your number one best top piece of advice for young rising coaches, and then how can they accomplish that?
So I'm a big believer. This is like one of my biggest kind of mottos, I guess, in my career, is if you want to be at the right place at the right time, you have to be at a lot of places at a lot of times.
I like that.
That's how I've gotten every job in this business. Was a job opens up. Do you know anybody? Oh, Ben was just here last week working our camp. Or, oh, I just talked to Ben on the phone yesterday. Or, oh, like, Ben did a great job with this place. Whatever it is, if you want to be at the right place at the right time, you got to be at a lot of places a lot of times. And early in your career, if you're just starting, like, go be everywhere. Be a fly on the wall. You don't always have to announce your presence. You just got to be there. That might mean sleeping on people's couches or staying with relatives or whatever the case may be. But yeah, if you can be the right place, right time, got to be a lot of places a lot of times.
That's perfect.
Well said, brother.
I like that a lot. It's a good one. Make sure you're getting out there. Well, before we get to our closing remarks, Ben, Al, do you have anything final to throw in?
Hey, Ben, no, all I got, man, one, just great to see you again, first and foremost, but also two, congratulations, man. Like, number one, much deserved, of course, but you're going to do a great job. You got great clarity on what you want to do, and you're definitely in the right place at the right time to hammer on what we just mentioned. So, but I'm happy for you, man. Congratulations. And thanks for doing this as well, because, like, the stuff you shared was super rich in a lot of ways.
I appreciate it. Of course, I was going to jump at the chance to be here. You know, I respect the hell out of both of you guys. Any opportunity to chat with y'all is a great time in my book.
Well, honestly, we as Alan said, we appreciate it. I've already had your roster, your games, all that pulled up on my on my screen. So we'll be making sure to keep tabs on you come March. And then obviously, well, we'll always circle back and try and get you on once the season's over to be able to see kind of, you know, your thoughts and takeaways after the first season. So we'd be happy to get you back on here. But yeah, again, thank you for being on here. And that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. We have Doug Caputo and Alan Major. Again, thank you, Ben Sanders. Keep working. Keep rising, coaches. Take care, everyone. Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.